listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and the tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Reading from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, reading through the 12th verse. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So far we read from God's holy word as Paul was inspired to write it to the Colossians and to us, a word that will never pass away. Even though heaven and earth will pass away, this word will stand. Our Father, we give thanks for this word. We give thanks that through the word we might be taught. Through the word we might be protected from what we have read here, the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We give thanks, Father, for giving him, thy Son, becoming a man. We give thanks also for the teaching that we have from him and by his Spirit. Even as, Father, Paul was ordained to write that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we pray that we might have more of that Spirit in the church, where we have had the beginning of it, the quickening of it, and that we might cry out again and again as David did, quicken me according to thy word. We pray, Father, that we might know the truth of these things as they are in the Scriptures, all of the Scriptures, thy whole counsel. And we pray that we might learn today rightly from this particular part, that we might, as on the day of Pentecost, receive the word gladly, and as evidently was done here at Colossae, whenever that word was preached to them, and through the preaching of it, they received thee, Lord Jesus. And we pray that many might today receive thee, that there might be added daily to the church such as should be saved. We pray for it in our nation. We pray for it in every nation in the world. We pray for it for both Jew and Gentile, and especially the time spoken of, written of by Paul, of their fullness, that that might come in our time, if it could be thy will, Father, that it might be part of thy kingdom, that it may come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings first of all. We also give thanks for the blessings in nature. We give thanks for the blessings that we have physically. We give thanks for the blessings we have as nations where we have freedom, and we pray for those who do not have these blessings, that are in suffering and fear and turmoil because of it. We pray that that freedom may not be taken away from us, as we are taught by the writing of Paul to Timothy, to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. We give thanks for the measure that we have of that, and we pray that it may continue, if it could be thy will, or even come in more fullness and freedom. We pray, Father, for thy blessing in reviving the church, that it might be a salt in every nation. And we pray, Father, for again for the temporal blessings, the blessings in the body, for those that are sick, those that are in injury, those that are in older age, those that are in hunger, sorrowing, afflicted in many ways, the broken homes. We pray for the schools. We pray for the workplace. We pray, Father, for every need that there is. We pray for the soldiers that are facing terrible conflicts and awful ways. We pray, Father, for thy peace on earth, goodwill toward men, through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words once again, moving a little further along in Paul's letter to the Colossians, there is much there, a great difference, that they were taken from darkness and brought into the light of Christ. In the first chapter, we read how that they were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son of God, his kingdom here on earth, the kingdom that he paid for with his own blood. And that is also stated here twice in this first chapter, of the reference that he gave his Son in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then again, further in that same chapter, we have the gospel, which is Christ dying for our sin, verse 23, and in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So twice in verse 14 and 20, We have the reference to the blood of Christ. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for sinners. He made that payment. Many speak of different things of Christ, reading of someone who pushes what we sometimes call peace and justice, and speak of the teachings of Christ, and they are there. But first of all, everyone that will promote peace with God and peace with one another must be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Otherwise, it's only what we read here further in the second chapter, the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Even though they might mention Christ, it is, as Paul would say to the Corinthians, an other Jesus, not the Jesus that would come and be so named because he would save his people from their sins. And as we read here, and we read already in the first chapter in weeks previous, if we would have read a little further in the second chapter, we would have read in the 13th verse, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiven. We need forgiveness. Some people think we only need power. We let God will help us do things our way. But that's not it. God's way is higher than our ways. Even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways and His thoughts than ours. And this is why we have so much division, why we have so much weakness, why we have so much conflict. And even in the church, there has been, sadly, the killing of one another through the ages. We have this blessing here. First of all, as we read, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Received Him. Two things have to be known. One is, we must receive Him as the sinners we are. We cannot receive Him in pride. God resists the proud. The Lord Jesus says, no man cometh to me except the Father draw him. And He will not draw us in our pride. He will resist us. He will push down the pride, as He did with Paul, who wrote this, declaring to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, you're a wicked man. And he was persecuting those who believed on Christ. And there are those today. And more we are in danger of the division of the church. Some want to persecute those who take the straight and narrow way of Christ and call it dangerous, call it treacherous, call it sometimes even as others would be called terrorist, giving that name to Christians. And there are those among those called Christians that are that. But that is not the teaching of Christ, and it's not the way of those who are truly ones that received Christ Jesus the Lord, and so walk ye in Him, as Paul was doing, and he was now exhorting these Colossians. And we need to see that. Thankfully, we have the Scripture. I know that Peter could say, some rush the Scripture to their own destruction. God has allowed that. Terrible things have happened under the name of God, the name of Christ, the name of the Scripture. But there is the right way in Scripture. There is the right way in Christ Jesus. And that is here stated, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. He came, He said, to seek and to save that which was lost. And we must receive Him as lost sinners. Not half saved, not in a different place than the rest of the world, even because we might be born in what is called a Christian home or under the shadow of the church, we are still sinners. Paul says, even to those in the church of Rome, are we better than they? in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Here we have a right picture. First of all, what must always be seen. Always, always, always. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. First, we receive Him. Then, we take the first step. We begin to walk. So, walk ye in Him. Paul describes another church as walking according to the course of this world. Now they were to walk in Christ. Walk in His ways. Walk in His power. Walk according to His teaching. Walk ye in Him. And then a little further, after we are exhorted more to do this, once again, Paul follows the same thought as in verse 6. Or in verse 7, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It reminds me of the Philippian jailer. In the middle of the night, the earthquake came. Paul was released. The Philippian jailer, in fear, trembling, said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Many simply want to use that as if everything was then done, and he and his house were saved. But listen, after he said that, there was something further. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house." He could be saved with his house. Paul spoke to all that was in his house. They all believed, and they all rejoiced. And especially that phrase, "and rejoiced," is why I went to it from this seventh verse here in Colossians 2. The last word therein, "with thanksgiving." Be thankful. In that house of the Philippian jailer, in the middle of the night, they all rejoiced. Rejoiced. Believing in God with all his house, all believing. What a wonderful thing. From the jailer, having made Paul and Silas safe, he thought in the prison, putting them in the most secure place, putting their feet in stocks, putting them in the innermost prison, going to bed, then the earthquake. He, afraid, even wanted to kill himself, thought the prisoners would escape. Cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And then this wonderful happening. And the end of it, rejoiced. Rejoiced. Believing in God with all his house. I think it'd be safe to say there never was a day before that of that kind of rejoicing. He began doing what Paul said to the Colossians, "So walk ye in him." The Philippian jailer walked in rejoicing. He walked in taking the first step that follows believing, baptism. They all were baptized. They all believed. They all rejoiced. And here we have the beginning of hearing the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, as it was done on the day of Pentecost. "As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." It comes by teaching, preaching, as Christ gave commandment before He left this earth. go into all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was Christ's command to the apostles, and they had done that. We don't know who did that at Colossae. It doesn't seem to be Paul, because last week and the week before we read the first part of the second chapter. He said, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Some statements, some descriptions describing the mystery of God, describing these people as having full assurance of understanding. Great things had happened. No wonder Paul can say at the end of his phrase here of receiving Christ, walking in Him, rooted and built up in Him, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's why we need revival. We need to think of these things in such a way that we will be thankful, that we will rejoice. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in His Word. Rejoice in His ways. And then, along with it, Paul gives warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Then he says, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And then he gives something that takes place very often, taught by Christ, as we already referred to it, in His instruction recorded in Matthew, going into all nations, going into all the world, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Paul knows how that has been misconstrued. And that's probably why God said, tell them, write to them, the Spirit inspiring him, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and tradition of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. In this, we have many wonderful statements over and over and over and over and over again and again and again and again. The first chapter, as I said, referring to the blood twice, referring to our being dead in sin, our wickedness, all reconciled by God to Himself through Christ. And then he gives again the beginning of it, as you have received Christ Jesus, that is the very beginning of having life. John writes, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Received Christ, given power. Here received Him. Now they were rooted in Him, built up in Him. And then more of Christ. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. All that we need is in Christ. Everything. 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 His Word, His way that He plans and orders, sometimes through other people, sometimes through circumstance, His way by His Spirit in us. Abide in Me and I in you was His instruction just before He died to the apostles. He said, then you will bring forth much fruit. He said also, without Me you can do nothing. Absolutely true. Have you found it to be so? Have you come to that day when you couldn't do nothing but sin? And then you had to receive Christ Jesus the Lord so you could begin to walk in Him? Has that happened? Do you know that first step? What should it be? What was the first step on the day of Pentecost? They asked what they had to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, the whole world, the promise is there. Even as many as he shall call. It takes God's mighty call to make us listen. And then after that we read, as many as gladly received his word were baptized. That first step. They received the word. They said, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ. They were glad they could do that. They were glad there was that way before them. And as they received that word gladly, again the rejoicing begins that we read of with the Philippians letter. Here we read, therein with thanksgiving. What a thankfulness when we see ourselves lost, going to hell. And then see there's a new and living way in Christ who paid the price for hell-deserving sinners. Those are things that Paul experienced. Those are things that Paul taught. And those are things that he describes here now in this church at Corinth. And they're there together. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, Christ. And then the experience that they had, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. There we have that first step, that initial beginning, circumcised with the inward circumcision of Christ. Have you had that?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.